1.
Thank you.
Good morning, Lillooet, and welcome to another day of live broadcasting here on CHLS 100.5 FM. My name is Jeff O'Kelly. This program is Snooze Button, and I'll be with you until 9 o'clock. We started this morning with music by Franz Liszt, rather gentle piece by Liszt there. That was surprisingly gentle, considering it's one of his transcendental etudes. That piece called Paysage, which means landscape or countryside, possibly, but I think essentially landscape. That's, I think, how Liszt meant it to be translated. That's one of the 12 transcendental etudes by Liszt, and one of the ones that is actually maybe the only one that's actually playable by normal human beings. I will tell you, that was a recording with Janina Fialkowska playing, by the way, and we'll come back and hear her in another of the transcendental etudes in a few minutes, and I'll tell you more about them at that time. Excuse me, right now it's time for weather and road reports. Yesterday's low, -1.0, the high made it up to +15.7, and a pretty glorious afternoon, I think it was. Certainly, I felt that it was. Likewise did my cat. Likewise did the cat that I am looking after while my neighbors are away. As of 7 a.m. this morning, the temperature is sitting at, -0.4, so it was kind of a chilly walk in. We're at that time of the year when I need to layer up a little bit for my walk into the studio in the morning, and then by the time I go home, it's too many layers. So if I choose carefully, I can choose layers that I can take off and put them in my backpack on the way home, and I managed to actually remember to do that this morning. Environment Canada tells us today a mixture of sun and cloud, a 40% chance of showers this afternoon, wind from the south at 30 kilometers per hour, gusting to 50 near noon. A high again today of 15 degrees and the UV index at 4, which is moderate. Tonight, partly cloudy, 40% chance of showers this evening, snow level at 1,200 meters, wind from the south at 30 kilometers per hour, gusting to 50, then becoming light late in the evening, and a little warmer tonight, so they say at any rate, a low of +5. Tomorrow, mainly cloudy, a 40% chance of showers in the afternoon and evening, wind from the south at 30 kilometers per hour, gusting to 50 late in the morning. A bit cooler tomorrow with a high of 11 degrees. Friday, a mixture of sun and cloud, a low of +4, a high of 12. Saturday, just plain cloudy at this point, with a low of +3 and a high of 13. And Sunday, predicted to be sunny with a low of +2 and a high of 15. And that's as far as I ever take the forecast. They do to carry it another couple of days on the Environment Canada website. They're suggesting Monday and Tuesday of next week, highs of 17 or 18 degrees. Maybe. Well, hope so. Taking a look at conditions across the country and around the province, things have moderated in some areas, gotten a little colder in some other areas. Let's start in Charlottetown, where it's -1 and cloudy. Montreal is partly cloudy and +3. Toronto +2 and cloudy. Iqaluit -16 with ice crystals. Winnipeg is sunny and -13. Saskatoon, they're probably pretty pleased. Things have moderated down to minus single digit temperatures. It's -5 degrees there and partly cloudy, but colder in Regina, where it's sunny and -11. Yellowknife, the coldest place on my list of Canadian cities, at -34, nasty and partly cloudy. Let's see, Edmonton is mostly cloudy and -6. Calgary -3 with light snow. Whitehorse is partly cloudy and -12. In Prince George, it's -2 and mostly cloudy. A little closer to home, Clinton is mostly cloudy and -6. Hope +3 and cloudy. Kamloops mostly cloudy and -1. -2 degrees in Pemberton. And in Vancouver, it is cloudy and +3. Oh, yeah, that reminds me. I meant to check and see. Yesterday, Vancouver only hit +12.3. I just have to gloat a little bit. Taking a look at the highways, Highway 1, that's the only, I just have two notes here, and they're both, neither of them terribly significant. Maintenance taking place from 14 kilometers west of Lytton to 17 kilometers west of Lytton, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. today, single lane alternating traffic where that's going on, and sweeping continues, this is the last day of it, from Spence's Bridge to Ashcroft, 7 a.m. to 3 p.m., and single lane alternating traffic there. Let's go back to Franz Liszt. Hey, it's Piano Wednesday here on Snooze Button. And let's see, we've got Liszt. We've got Arlen / Hertz. I'll tell you about that when we get there. Some CPE Bach, and then more water music type encores coming up. Some aquatic life, piano music about aquatic life later on. But let's go with Liszt now. And he wrote when he was in his teens. I think he was about 15 years old when he wrote a set of 12 pieces, fairly small-scale pieces. He collectively called all 12 of them études, singular, études in 12, en 12 exercices, study in 12 exercises. They weren't the kind of finger exercises that you sometimes find that are not pieces of music. These were pieces of music, but they were very small-scaled, and the technical demands made on the player was fairly limited, were fairly limited. In the 1830s, Liszt took another look at these this piece that he had written when he was 15, and he expanded it way beyond where it needed to go. And he created his 12, I think what they were called, 12 grandes études, 12 grand etudes. They used basically the same thematic material as those very early versions did, but now in the what was essentially Liszt's mature style. But when I say mature, at this point in the 1830s, Liszt was writing just fantastically difficult music. In fact, he was overwriting music. So the 12 grandes études are overwritten. They have too many notes for their own good. And I think Liszt probably realized that, partly because very few other people, if any, were playing them. He himself probably could, but not many other pianists at the time. So in the 1850s, he took the 12 grand etudes and he revised them further, not making them that different from what they had been in the 1830s, but thinning out the textures. And in doing so, really making less into more. They're more effective pieces in their 1850s version. So we're going to hear one more of those, number four, which is called Mazeppa. And that is a given name. Ukrainian, well, I'm not sure if it's Ukrainian name, but it is fairly common in the Ukraine now, I believe. It can also refer to a town in Minnesota, a town in Pennsylvania, a town in South Dakota. There is Mazeppa National Park in Australia, Mazeppa, Alberta. There is a Ukrainian politician named Isaac Mazeppa. And then there are a whole series of pieces of music and poems and other literature, all on this basic subject. I think it was Lord Byron who really got the ball rolling in many respects with, I think it's a poem. Yeah, it is. It's a fairly long poem called Mazeppa. It tells the story of a, I can't remember where this starts, I think in Poland, a young page who is caught in flagrante delicto, as the saying goes, with a noblewoman, and as punishment, he is tied to naked to a horse, and the horse is driven off across the countryside. And Mazeppa actually survives this experience. Now, the events themselves may not be actual, but the character Ivan Mazeppa was a real Ukrainian Cossack hetman. And the story goes that after surviving this ordeal, he was found by the Cossacks and nursed back to health and rose to become their king. So after a lot of pain and suffering, at any rate, a quasi-happy ending for the character of Mazeppa. This etude, you will very definitely hear the galloping of the horse. That's in the main sections of the piece. It's kind of in an ABA format, meaning there are outer fast sections, and then there's an inner section, which is still ridiculously difficult, but has a much more beautiful lyrical quality to it. Liszt was not following so much the narrative, specifically the narrative of Lord Byron in this etude. He was really more basing it on a poem by Victor Hugo, which was in turn inspired by Byron's poetry. And then Liszt went on to convert this piece into a symphonic tone poem as well. And Tchaikovsky wrote an opera not about this part of the Mazeppa legend, but about Mazeppa later on in life when he was the Cossack hetman. Anyway, here is Janina Fialkowska playing this fiendishly difficult etude by Franz Liszt.
Thank you.
Music by Franz Liszt. We've been listening to one more of his set of 12 Transcendental Etudes. That was number 4, entitled Mazeppa, and the pianist was Janina Fialkowska. That's one of the, probably the two most difficult of the Transcendental Etudes. Liszt asks for some really crazy fingerings from the pianist, and keeping the horse galloping, so to speak, is quite a challenge. Okay, it's 8:23. Let me tell you, actually 8:24. Let me tell you what's coming up today on Radio Lillooet. When Snooze Button wraps up, I will be leaving you with the, let's see, Folk World Reggae playlist today. We've been having a bit of trouble the past couple of days switching control of the airwaves up to Lillooet Secondary School. I think when Snooze Button wraps up, actually, I will just do a quick test on that before I leave you with the playlist. Hopefully, I will be able to accomplish that, and later today you would be able to hear, if they're on the air, Grace and William, student broadcasters at Lillooet Secondary School. They're on the air roughly between 11:25 and 12:15. Later today, it is Democracy Now! From 3 until 4 p.m., and then at 4 is The First Years. Helena is back. She sent me a new show this morning, and very glad that Helena is back. Not only back on the airwaves, but back from the Ukraine, which must have been quite an experience during the time that she was there. So that's that's at 4 p.m., about a half-hour show today. Later, this is Wednesday, so that means it is Wendy's Wonderland this evening from 6 until 8 p.m. And you can find all the details of our schedule on the website, radiolillooet.ca, and you can also find some of our shows posted in podcast form and the schedule. And there was something else there. Oh, yes, a link to live streaming Radio Lillooet. There we go. Okay, before going on with the music, a couple of bird-related things. Last night, and then again this morning, and when I was outside, just at home, actually this morning it was on the way into the studio, I heard a Western Meadowlark singing, and they've been here for a few weeks now, actually. They're very early arrivals among the birds that are migrants to the Lillooet area for the winter. But still very nice to hear them, because I don't often hear them near my place. I'm hoping that maybe one has decided to take up residency in the area. Such a beautiful song they have. I don't have that all lined up, that song, to go for you. So sorry, if you want to hear a Western Meadowlark singing, go to YouTube. You'll find lots and lots and lots. And I found an item on the CBC website this morning regarding a new hummingbird nest cam that has gone online. This is actually on YouTube, and this hummingbird nest cam is located on Vancouver Island. It is pointing at the nest of an Anna's hummingbird. Anna's hummingbirds live at the coast, certain parts of the coast at any rate, all year long. They're there right through the winter. And so this is Anna's hummingbird is named Flower, apparently, and Flower is on her second clutch of eggs already for the year. And as I look, she is sitting on the nest right now. I'm just going to check and see if we have sound feed on that live cam, and apparently we do not. She just took off from the nest. But if you want to find, that live streaming feed on YouTube, just go to YouTube and search for Hummingbird Live Cam. That's the name it's given here. So really kind of neat to see that. Of course, Lillooet's own Osprey Nest Cam, we're hoping will be online maybe within the next few weeks, and ospreys will be showing up again before very long at all. So stay tuned for more information on that. And I thought there was something else birdie that I wanted to tell you, but I can't remember what it is, so we'll leave it alone. For our next music, we're going to turn to, this is not really classical, but it sort of is in style. It's a really fun thing. This is the Wizard of Oz fantasy, based on tunes, of course, by Harold Arlen that come from the musical / movie, and arranged here for one piano four hands by William or Bill Hertz. Bill Hertz is a composer, songwriter, arranger, everything you could ask for of that nature, probably orchestrator as well. I think he's based in Los Angeles now, but I'm not 100% certain about that. I met Bill a few years ago. When I say a few years ago, I mean more than 20 years ago, on a few occasions. A really nice guy, and also has a tremendous sense of humor. And what he was doing with this piece was trying to create a sort of a Listian style fantasy, but based on tunes from Wizard of Oz. Brilliant idea. Wish more people would do it. The pianist Stephen Huff has done gone a little bit in that direction with some popular tunes and maybe a few others. But this is the most extravagant example that I've run across of any recent pianist or composer. I think Bill also arranged this for one piano, two hands, for a single pianist, but I don't have a recording of that version. I've just got the piano duet version, which is more impressive anyway because there's more notes being played all at once. This is an amazing recording. Pianist John Kimura Parker, who you heard from on yesterday's show and have done so many times here on Snooze Button. He's been a friend for, as I said yesterday, over 30 years, and he's playing here with his brother Jamie, who has been a friend for almost that long, certainly an acquaintance, but Jamie was a couple of years younger, so we didn't get to know each other as well initially, but have kept in touch one way or another over the years. So this was recorded at the Orcas Island Chamber Music Festival. That's run by Aloysia Friedman, who is Jackie Parker's, John Kimura Parker's wife. And I'm just seeing if we have a recording year this was recorded. No, I'm not sure what year of the festival this was recorded in. Probably around 2000 or 1999, I think. Maybe a little later than that. Anyway, I think I've talked about it enough. You'll know all the tunes. Here is The Wizard of Oz Fantasy. A very enthusiastic audience for that performance at the Orcas Island Music Festival, Chamber Music Festival. I should know the name of it. I've been writing their program notes for more than 10 years. What we heard was The Wizard of Oz fantasy music, of course, by Harold Arlen, but arranged by Bill Hertz for piano four hands and performed by John Kimura Parker and Jamie Parker, the Canadian brothers, both from Burnaby and friends for many, many years. Just wonderful stuff. Okay, it's 8:38, time for public service announcements. I'm actually, before I get to those, I do have to tell you one other thing, a news story I found this morning. Apparently, violinist Isaac Perl Itzhak Perlman, who is he suffered from polio as a child, and so he gets around either in a wheelchair or at least when he's on stage using braces. He was in the Toronto airport, an airline who shall remain nameless, you can find the story on the web very easily, had assigned somebody, one of the people that they assigned to help with help people with disabilities, and the person whose job this was, on learning that Itzhak Perlman had two bags rather than one, apparently said, "It's not my problem that you chose to carry an extra bag, and besides, I'm not your personal assistant. You're not paying me or anything." And then this person thereupon left Itzhak Perlman to his own devices in the Toronto airport. If I had the job of helping Itzhak Perlman with his luggage, I would do anything. That would be an absolutely fantastic job, I think, even if you're only doing it for a few minutes, just a chance to meet and talk with that man. Okay, let's get to public service announcements, and I'm going to have to blast through them because I've got more here than I really have time for. Let's start with the pool schedule. Everyone welcome 10:30 to 11:30. Lane swimming 11:30 until 1. Everyone welcome 4:30 to 6:30, and lane swimming again 6:30 till 7:30 p.m. Tonight is movie night at the Lillooet Library. That runs from 7 until 9 p.m. on Wednesday nights. It is free, and tonight's movie is called NCR, Not Criminally Responsible, and it is a documentary about violence, mental illness, and the rights of victims. And that's all I have time to tell you about it. The public open house information session regarding proposed medical marijuana growing regulations in the SLRD electoral area B, that is this afternoon from 4 until 6 p.m. here at the Rec Center. Don't forget the daffodil sale. Lillooet Division of the Canadian Cancer Society is holding its annual daffodil sale tomorrow. They'll be available in two locations at the post office in the Old Mill Plaza. They'll go on sale at 8:30, and the sales will continue until they are all gone. The cost is $5 a bunch, and all proceeds go to the Canadian Cancer Society. The Lillooet Hospice Foundation has its annual general meeting coming up Thursday, April the 10th. That is Thursday of next week at 2 p.m. in the hospital boardroom. Everyone welcome. Memberships are available. If you'd like more information, call Gail at 256-4910. And if you have an annual general meeting for your nonprofit society coming up soon, please get in touch with us at Radio Lillooet. You can either leave us a note under the door telling us the information, or drop something off with the Rec Center front office, or you can give me a call at home, Jeff, 256-7561, and I will make sure your information gets on the air. And finally, registration for the next set of, and I believe, well, I don't know if it's the final set or not, but the next set of Red Cross swimming lessons will be beginning soon. Those lessons start April 15th and run through May the 8th on Tuesdays and Thursdays in the late afternoon and early evening. I'm not going to give you all the details now. You can get that from the Rec Center. Registration has not yet started for that set, but it will be coming soon, sometime between probably April the 7th and the 10th, though that's just a guess on my part. For more information, get in touch with the Rec Center at 250-256-7527. And that is it for the public service announcements for today. Okay, for most of the rest of the hour, we're going to turn to music by C.P.E. Bach, and we're going to listen to a work by him called A Sonatina. This is a rather unusual work. Bach wrote 12 sonatinas for keyboard and an orchestra. Half of them are in one form, one have one sort of set of structural characteristics, and the other half have another set. Around 1754, 1755 was the beginning of the Seven Years' War. I don't have time to go into explaining the Seven Years' War. It was big deal and totally unnecessary. It involved the Kingdom of Prussia, the Austro-Hungarian Empire, the Empire of Spain, Sweden, Great Britain, Russia, and it ultimately had consequences for the colonies in other areas, particularly in North America. But again, I just don't have the time to explain all that. But why it's important is because at the time, C.P.E. Bach was working at the court of Prussia, of the King of Prussia, who was Frederick the Great. And when the war broke out, that meant that some of salaries, particularly for cultural positions in the king's household, were either cut back or stopped altogether. And fortunately, right around the same time, a movement began in Berlin, which was the seat of Frederick the Great. A movement began to take classical music performances out of just court settings and make them things that were more available to the general public. Started in people's homes with groups of amateur music makers, some of whom were quite talented actually, and their evenings of getting together to play chamber music started to attract guests, and ultimately attracted so many guests they started giving out tickets for them and then started selling tickets for them. Anyway, the result of all this was to provide more opportunities for public performance, and it has been suggested that Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach, the second son of J.S. Bach, may have written these sonatinas to try and establish a new musical structure, a new musical form that would be popular in such concert settings. As it turned out, nobody else ever really picked up on the style of his sonatinas. But fortunately, they have, or at least some of them, have now been recorded. So we're going to hear the Sonatina in D major. And the way this works is it's really kind of a one big movement piece, but it's in two parts of very unequal length. So what we get first is the orchestra stating a rather relaxed, mellow theme. And I think the keyboard instrument makes a few contributions to that. That goes on for about 3 minutes. Then for another 3 minutes, we get the keyboard instrument all by itself with much more elaborate writing for it. And then that original main tune the orchestra stated comes back in the orchestra, but with some variation this time. And then there's another solo for the keyboard player. And then the orchestra comes back yet one more time with another variation on, or variant at any rate, of the main theme. And then it moves to a concluding fast section for both the orchestra and the harpsichord. That's all I have time to explain to you about this. It's kind of an interesting and fun piece. Now, I should also mention this is played on an instrument called a tangent piano, which I don't really know very much about, and unfortunately the notes for this CD, the liner notes, do not contain much information about it either. It sounds a little bit like a harpsichord, sounds a little bit like a piano, has a rather lovely sort of bell-like sound in its upper register. So let's listen to Miklós Spányi playing the tangent piano. And I'm not sure who is conducting here. I think essentially he is leading from the keyboard, a group known as the Concerto Armonico. You might find the tangent piano a little bit quiet, so you may want to turn up your volume a little bit, or maybe just sit closer to your radio or other listening device. Strange, quirky music by Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach there, the second son of Johann Sebastian Bach. We heard the Sonatina in D major for keyboard instrument and orchestra. I say keyboard instrument because it was probably, I would think, mostly played on the harpsichord. Here we heard it played on something called a tangent piano by Miklos Spanyi. And in the liner notes to the CD, he explains his reasons for going with that instrument. I think a harpsichord would have been better because it just would have been easier to hear. That was a recording with Concerto Armonico. They were the orchestra, and I believe Miklos Spanyi was conducting, though it doesn't say that specifically here. At any rate, one of those pieces that every time I listen to it, I like it a little better. Lots of fun stuff. All the writing for plucked strings in the final fast section, quite unusual for its time. Okay, it's 9:05, and we're going to throw in an encore. I was going to try and put in two encores today, but I think we're just too limited on time for that. So we're going back to Liszt, and we're going to hear his arrangement of a song by Franz Liszt, and it's the song called Die Forelle, the trout. All of this week's encores are having to do with water or things watery, in this case, a fish. Actually, the poem to this song, not by Schubert, I can't remember the name of the poet, the poem is not so much about the trout itself or about fishing. It is a warning to virtuous young women to not allow themselves to be seduced by clever, tricky young men who play the part of the, or the fisherman plays the part of the tricky young men in this poem. It doesn't really matter in this case because we're hearing it without words anyway. I suppose purists, Schubert purists, would object to the way that Liszt arranged his songs for piano, allowing a lot more opportunities for virtuosic display and that sort of thing than is found in the songs. But personally, I think they're very attractive and have a great sense of fun to them. Let's listen to the still pretty young Russian pianist Yevgeny Kisin, who made a real splash at about the age of 12 and has continued to do so pretty much ever since then.